Okay, we'll talk a little bit about Inyane Rosh Hashanah. There is a mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's a psukim in the Chumash. And the Gemara presents it as if there was a machlokes ha-tanoim, sochik in the days of the Tanoim. What's the definition of trua? Yom trua yalachem. You have to have tkiya, trua, tkiya three times. Shaila, whether all three times is deraisa, maybe in Atar it's enough. Once tkiya, trua, tkiya. Discussion in the Gemara. So what is the definition of a trua? So the Gemara says, in the days of the Tanoim, there was a machlokes. Rabbi Bo was an Amora. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, in Kisrin. And he made the takana to satisfy all the opinions that you blow three times tkiya shvarm trua tkiya shvarm tkiya three times tkiya trua tkiya three times to satisfy all of the opinions. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. There is a medrash rabbe on Koheles. Thank you. There's a medrash rabbe on Koheles on the pasuk v'yireh lekim v'yetzei yidei shneihem. So the medrash rabbe says that's a reference to Rabbi Bo and Kisrin. What is that referring to? What did he do that was Yireh Shemayim V'Yetzei Yidei Shneihem? So on the bottom of the page, in the standard edition of the Medrash Rabbah, they give different interpretations. So one of the interpretations they give is that it's referring to this takona, that he wanted to satisfy all the different opinions. So he introduced that you should blow all the logical possibilities. Tkiya Shvarim Truah Tkiya three times. Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya three times. Tkiya Truah Tkiya three times. That's Rabbah Bo and Kisrin. In the days of the Gaonim, the practice was, then the Mishnah has a din, you're supposed to blow tkiyas, I'll say the habrochas, at the conclusion of Malchias, at the conclusion of Zichronis, and at the conclusion of Shofaris. Rashi sounds like he holds that this is a din min HaTorah. You should have tkiyas, I'll say the habrochas, is a din derais. Rabban Chumash disagrees on 2 points. He says, what do you mean? The whole Malchias, Zichronis, Shofaris is only with the Rabban. How can it be that Kiyas al Seder Abrochas is a din deraisa? How does Ramban know that Malchus Chen Shov is only a Rabban? The Gemara has a few times, Rachmana Omar, the Torah says you should say Malchus. The Torah says you should say Zechronis. So from the Gemara sounds like the Torah said. Could be that it's Yatz Melitza. It means it's a Takonos Chachan. Rachmana Omar could be Lav Davkin. How does Ramban know that it's only Midi Rabban? Because the Gemara quotes Abraisa. A person lives in a village where there's no shofar and there's no machzer, and if he's going to stay home for Rosh Hashanah, he will neither have malchus chayin shofars nor will he have tkiyah shofar. And he can't afford to go to the big city where they have both a machzer and a shofar, and he'll be out to everything. He can either go to one little village over here, one little village over there. So one little village, they have a shofar, but they don't have a machzer. The other village, they have a machzer, they don't have a shofar. So which one should he choose to go to? So the Gemara quotes a braisa, he should choose to go to the village where they have the shofar, as opposed to the village where they have the machzer. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, you need a braisa to tell you that tkiyah shofar is a din min HaTorah, and malchus chayin shofar is only midirabbanan. So of course you choose the shofar over the malchus chayin shofar. The Gemara says, Loi tzvicho, the chiddush of the braisa is the following. In one community, there is a machzer and there's no shofar. So if you go there, you know you'll have malchus chayin shofar, but you will not have a shofar. The other community, there's no machzer, and there may or may not be a shofar. And he has no cell phone, he has no email, he has no way to contact them. He does know. He knows for sure there's no machzer, and he heard there may or may not be a shofar. So I wonder what upset if he's going to go to that village, he may be left with nothing. There is no machzer, and it may turn out that there is no shofar, but left with nothing. So the Gemara says, that's what the braisa says. You should go to the community, the village, where there may be a machzer, where there may or may not be a shofar, even though there's vaday no machzer, a sofik shofar is odif, preferable to a vaday machzer. Because the machzer, the machzer on shofar is only with the rabbana, and the shofar is menator. So the Ramban says, wow, it's a befamish Gemara, that Malchus Chayin Shofar is only by the Rabbana, reciting on Malchus Chayin Shofar and blowing the Shofar is Minat Torah, and a suffix that you may get Shofar is preferable to a Vadai that you're going to get Malchus Chayin Shofar. So it's a Raya against Rashi. Yeah, how does one defend the Rashi? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over whenever he spoke about this topic, there's a Sefer that has Chidushim on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah. And Sukkah is called Kapas Tamar. It's a famous Sefer. And Rosh Hashanah, that third of the Sefer is called Yom Truah, and the third of the Sefer on Yom Kippur is called Tosefes Yom Kippur. A lot of people call it the Kapas tomorrow. Okay, but because that's more famous. So in that sefer, he comes to defend the Rashi. So he says, Rashi holds that Malchus Chayin Shofis is the Raisa when it comes in conjunction with a Shofar. If you have a village but they don't have a Shofar, they only have a Machzer, so then the Gemara says Malchus Chayin Shofis is only the Rabbanan. But if the Malchus Chayin Shofis comes together with a Shofar, then it's a Din min HaTorah, and to say Malchus Chayin Shofis, and from the Rashi it would appear that the Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is also a Din deraisa. Also a Din deraisa. The Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. What is the layout of the Malchus Chayin and Shofis? So each brocha has three parts. The first part of the Malchus Chayin and Shofis, first unit, we say what we believe in, this theme of Malchus, or Chayin and Shofis, whatever. Rabbi Yosef Albo writes in the Sefer Ikarim, the Rambam thinks that there are 13 Ikari HaAmuna, he lists off all the 13 Animamins, and Rabbi Yosef Albo says that basically it boils down to three. We believe in Malchus, we believe in God, we believe in Zichronis, that there's Schar V'Yonesh, that God knows everything that's happening, he rewards the Tzaddikim, and he for doing the mitzvahs, and he punishes the Rishon, Schar V'Yonesh. And then Shofaris means that there's such a thing, Shofaris in Tanakh is often appears in connection with Gilui Shechina. So we believe that it's possible to have Nevuah, God can communicate to man, and the reverse also, man can communicate to God by davening, so there can be communication. There has been in the past communication, there has been Nevuah, and there will be in the future. So that's what Shofar, Tkab Shofar God L'Chev is saying, in the future there will be Nevuah, and there will be communication between God and man. So the first part of each one of these three special brachas and Rosh Hashanah, we developed the theme, it's like saying Animam, and I believe in the idea of Malchus. Then the middle part, we say, how do you know that something is true? Let's say, Amar Abyechem, B'chol Machem Shatam Motzi, G'delosa, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shama Atam Motzi, Amasam Nusa, Dovah Zat Kosim HaTor, V'shanim Avim, Shulish Paksu. You want to prove a certain Hashkofe, so you have to quote from Tanakh, so you quote one Pasuk from Chumash, one Pasuk from Navi, one Pasuk from Ksuv. So that's in the Mishnah, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim, on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. How many psukim do you have to say to prove your point? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Imam Gimel Gimel Mikulam Yotza. All you have to say is one pasuk from Chumash, one pasuk from Navi, and one pasuk from Ksuvim. The Gemara says, Amishmal Halachi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Mikaredin, all you have to say is one pasuk, Dovazek Kasbator, B'shalim Avim, Shulish Baksuvim. Three psukim. Then the Tanakhama says in the Mishnah, that's what we do, you say, Asara psukim. You say 10 in Perks, Masara Malchus, Masara Zachranis, Masara Shabbos. Why do you say 10? So it's really 9 and 1. Instead of just quoting one pasuk from Chumash, we quote 3 psukim. Because from one pasuk, maybe we're reading the pasuk incorrectly. Maybe we're taking pasuk out of context. So if you quote 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Navi, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, so then it's pretty clear that what do you need the 10th pasuk for? So from the Gemara it would appear, it might appear, we'll get to this soon, it might appear that the 10th pasuk is really for a different purpose, to prove the Ikaret Emunah that we started off with, the first section of each one of the three brachas, Machzor Shofar, it would have been enough either with 3 psukim according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, halachic Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it would have been sufficient with 9 psukim. The 10th pasuk really belongs to the concluding paragraph. The concluding in the what we call Shman Esrei Amida on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no 18, 19 brachas, but we usually call Shman Esrei anyway. Amida. So Amida, you have the Gimel Rishonis and the Gimel Achronis. Gimel Rishonis is Shevach. Yoli Misadar Adam Shevach Shalakadosh Baruch B'Chakach His Palo. So Derech Eretz dictates that before you ask for Bakashas Tarochim, he says Shevach. Now Derech Eretz dictates after you ask for Bakash and Sarachim, you say Hoidoya. So that's, you begin with Shevach, you end with Hoidoya. Then in the middle you have the Bakash and Sarach. So on the weekdays all year long, so we have 13 brachas in the middle. We have 13. And then Yimitcha De'abina Ma'askel, we can all use a little an ounce of brains to be a little smarter than we are. And give us the Kerch to do Tshuva, and give us Slicha, and give us Refuah, give us Geula, all the different Bakashas in the middle. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara says we don't ask the Bakosha Tzorachim, Gashmi Yizdika Tzorachim, we ask for Ruchni Yizdika Tzorachim. So on a regular Shabbos and a Yom Tov, the Bakosha Tzorachim is the concluding paragraph. That's the Bakosha Tzorachim. The same is true of Rosh Hashanah by Musa. We say, that's the Bakosha. And then, that's the Bakosha Sarachim. Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, it cannot be that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't say any Bakosha Sarachim at all. The Rambam is of the opinion, the Rambam has a Chiddush the Geshita, that the obligation to daven is min haTorah. It's not just an asmachta mid Rabbana. Rabban thinks the obligation to daven min haTorah is only tefillah be'eis tzorah. Shalom be'ez tzorah, you don't have to daven. The Rambam thinks that the obligation to daven is once a day, every day. Either Gemara says tefillah is only with the Rabbanan, so the Rambam says that goes to the fact that we daven, we have to daven three times a day, our Shabbos four times a day, and could be daven five times a day, you add ne'ilah. So more than once a day, that's with the Rabbanan, and then the particular nusach is with the Rabbanan. But the general framework, the outline, it starts with Shevach, the end with Oidoya. The middle should be Bakash and Sarachim, that's min haTorah. And that's an obligation once a day, every day. So Moshe Feinstein raises the question, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you leave out all the brachas and tzoyos. So you don't have any bakosha tzorachim, so you're not yotze tefillah deraisa. How can it be? So he says, no, on Shabbos and Yom Tov also you have bakosha tzorachim. But instead of asking for refuah and slicha and parnasa, baruch aleinu, we ask for parnasa and geula, all the other things, we ask for etzei minu choseinu, kadoshenu minu tzasecha, and secha kenu tzorasecha, and so on. So on Rosh Hashanah by Musaf also, we say, so that's generally the outline of the three units and of the Malchus Zechayna Shofar. So it would appear, perhaps from the Gemara, we'll have to see the Gemara, that the 10th Pasuk is not really to prove the point. The point is proven according to Rabbi Yechman Nuri with three Pesukim, like in the Yitlcha, Dovah Zakas Batorv, Shalom Ba'avim, Shulish Ba'Ksuvim, quote, one Pasuk from Torah, one Pasuk from Dovah, and one Pasuk from Ksuvim. Rabbi Yechman Nuri says one from each. And the Chachamim say, nicer would be 3, 3, and 3. So once he quoted 9 psukim, that's above and beyond. That's Daiva Hoysa. You already proved the point that you mentioned in the beginning. And the concluding paragraph is a bakosha. So we say, as it says in Chumash, you promised us in Chumash that you're going to do this. As it says in the Chumash, you promised us in the Torah that you're going to take care of us. You're going to be Zachrein B'Zikar. So the concluding pasuk, the 10th pasuk, is not really to prove the point and the ikar and amunah, but rather to enhance the bakosha that the Rabbanu Shlom himself promised like that. How do you see that this is so? This is Rav Soloveitchik pointed all this out. So he pointed out, Alamed Beis Amun Aleph, there's the top mishnah, two mishnahs there. So the top mishnah has a machlokes hatanim. How do you combine together the 9 brachas on Rosh Hashanah? They really ought to have been 10 brachas. He should really have had Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achreinis, that in every Shabbos Yom Tov, we have a bracha emtzois about Kedusha Sayyim. Atav HaChatan HaKalam, Titan Lanus Yom HaZikor Nazeh, Baruch Atav Hashem Mekadosh Tisol Yom HaZikor. That should have been a bracha emtzois, like in every Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then when you want to blow Shofar, we blow Shofar and Musaf, so we have Malchus Venus Shofar and Musaf. The Gemara says originally they used to blow Shofar in the Chazoras HaShatzin Shachris. The Gemara says it's a toss-up. Should we blow shofar in Chazaras HaShatz and Shachris? Because on the one hand, Zriz Makdim LeMitzvus, or is it better to blow shofar in Chazaras HaShatz and Musaf? Because Beroivam Harus Melach. In the days of the Tanoim, the shul was more crowded by Musaf than it was by Shachris. Maybe they daven at the crack of dawn. Maybe they started davening at 6 o'clock in the morning. Maybe that was, I wouldn't be in shul either to Shachris. Okay, maybe it was empty. Whatever. It was empty. It was empty in the shul for Shachris. So the Gemara says, Rizim Akdim LeMitzvus takes precedence over Beroivam Haris Melech. So that's why the original practice used to be that they used to blow Shofar and Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris. Then because of some problem with the government, so they moved it to Musaf. So then that's the way it remains. So we blow Shofar in Musaf. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is, when they had the original practice that they used to blow Tkir Shofar in Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, then they said Malchus Chayin Shofar in Shachris. Then when it was moved that you blow shofar on chazaras on shatz and musaf, you're supposed to blow shofar al seder habrachas after malchus reina shofar. So then they moved the malchus reina shofar to musaf. That's the pashut pshat in the Gemara. The Balamor has an original opinion over here, and the Maharsho on the first parak in Avodah Zarah points out that Rashi in Avodah Zarah, the first parak says like that also, that the nusach hatfil to say malchus reina shofar is not miyuchad only to musaf when you're going to blow shofar. By Ma'ariv and by Shacharis, that my Musav also, you should say Malchus Lechon Shofar. Each Amidah on Rosh Hashanah is supposed to have Malchus Lechon Shofar. But that's not our practice. We don't follow that Balamor. Even though Rashi and Avodah Zarah says Beferish like that, pretty Beferish like that, that's not our practice. So there really should have been 10 brachas in the Musav of Rosh Hashanah. The Gimel Rishon is Gimel Acharon is like all year long. Then the one bracha about Kedushas Hayom, then you should have Malchus Lechon Shofar. So 3, 3, and 3, and 1 adds up to 10 in higher mathematics. How come there are only 9 brachas? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik and others explain, because the Gemara says in brachas, when Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, when the later Chachamim, whenever they composed tefillah, everything had to be based, the Gemara's lashon is, Anshe Knesset HaGdolah was a body that consisted of 120 Chachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them there were several Nevi'im. So Rav Chaim Volozhin points out in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim that to compose a Nusach HaTfilo, you have to have a Koyach HaNevuah. You have to know what's proper to say, what's not proper to say. The Gemara says in Brochas, the person who prays the Rabbanu Shalom, he may say something ridiculous. He doesn't know what to say. So everything has to be based on Tanakh. The Gemara seems to say also in Brochas, how many units you have in your Tfilo also has to have a Mokim in Tanakh. So when they instituted Shemona Esrei, 18 Brochas, they had a Mokim in Tanakh. Then when they changed it to make it 19 brachas, Vaita they had a Mokim and Tanakh. The Gemara says, on Shabbos and Yontif, the Amidah, the Shemana Esrei, only has 7 brachas, so there's a Mokim and Tanakh. The Gemara says, what's the Mokim Rosh Hashanah that you have? The Musaf Dikah Shemana Esrei has 9 brachas. The Gemara says, from Tfilas Chana, from when she thanked the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving her the baby when Shmuel was born. So the Gemara says Shem Hashem appears 9 times. So you derive from that parasha that it's acceptable to have a tefillah with 9 units. There is no mocker that you can have a tefillah with 10 units. So that's why the Tanoim have a 3-way machlekes. How do you combine? You have to combine 2 of the brachas together. You have to fetch together 2 brachas to shrink it. Instead of having 10 brachas, you're only going to have 9 brachas. So which 2 brachas do you combine together? So that was a machlekes. So the Mishnah has the same person, Rabbi Chmanuri. Here we don't follow him. Here by Rabbi Chmanuri Mikra, then we paskin. If you say one pasuk from Torah, one pasuk from Nevi'im, one pasuk from Ksuvim, and our Torah is really sufficient. That's what Gemara says. Amar Shmuel halachi Rabbi Chmanuri. The other Rabbi Chmanuri we did not paskin like on the top of Lamed Beis Amaral. Rabbi Chmanuri says you should combine Malchias in the 3rd bracha of the Shmona Esrei with Kedushas Hayom, with Kedushas Hashem. After Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh, and you're going to end off HaMelech HaKodesh. So they changed the Nusach HaBracha, HaMelech HaKodesh, and HaSeres Mei Tshuva, so Malchias fits in over there. So in Becham Inuri says, you say Malchias in After Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh. And then you say the middle brachas, the 4th bracha will be Kedushas Hayayim, Atav Chautana V'titlanas Yama Zikorin HaZeh, and then you end off in Kodesh Distol V'Yama Zikorin. And then you say Zichrenes and Shofar later. So the Malchias and the Zechanah Shofar are not next to each other. You have Malchias is the 3rd bracha of the Shemana Esrei combined with Kedushas Hashem. Then you have Kedushas Hayoyim, Atav HaChatanu. Then later you have Zechanah and Shofar. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and he says no, that it makes more sense to combine Malchias with Kedushas Hayoyim. The 3 brachas in the middle should be Malchias and Shofar, and Malchias should be combined with the Kedushas Hayom. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. He created the world. He became the Melech when he created the world. And the 3rd opinion is the Tanner of Shimon Gamliel. He's of the opinion that you always have the bracha of Kedushas Hayom on Shabbos and Yontiv, any other Shabbos and Yontiv, the bracha Emtzoyis. See, you want to have only 9 brachas and not 10. So this, the middle bracha is bracha number 5. That bracha should have Kedushas Hayom. So you combine together Zichronis with Kedushas Hayom. Why? What's the connection? No, Kedushas Hayam is always emtzois, always the dead center. So usually you have only seven brachas on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Shmanis. Gimel Shabbos, Gimel Achrenes. You have one bracha in the middle. One bracha in the middle is a Kedushas Hayam, the Kadesh on Shabbos, and the Kadesh Yisrael Hazmanim. And on Rosh Hashanah, when you have nine brachas, so you take the bracha in the middle, Mamish in the middle, the Zechrenes bracha, and you combine the Kedushas Hayam with that bracha. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion was not accepted, that you should combine the Kedushas Hayayim with the Zechrinus. That was not accepted. But it's a toss-up between Abdechem Ben Nuri, who introduced Malchias into Kedushas Hashem, or Reb Akiva, who says you should combine Malchias with Kedushas Hayayim. So the Yerushalmi says, the Bavli doesn't quote, the Yerushalmi says that in Galil, the practice used to be like Abdechem Ben Nuri. They daven his Nusa. And the rest of Eretz Israel and Yehuda, the practice was like Rabbi Akiva. So that's what we follow, Rabbi Akiva. We combine together Malchus with the Kedusha Sayyim. The fourth bracha has the two combined. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, he said his uncle wrote a sefer on the Rambam that's called Avedus HaMelech. So in his sefer he suggests, not his uncle, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik, but Rav Elbala is a brother-in-law. What was his name? Not Rav Elbala's brother-in-law. It was his uncle who was married to his mother's sister. His name was Krakowski. I forgot his first name. So he, in a Sefer Avodas HaMelech, so he suggests that maybe the fact that we say in Atta Kodesh Shimcha Kodesh, we say V'chein Tein Pachta, V'chein Tein Kovid, that sounds like that used to be the Hakdome to the Malchias Bracha of Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri. And in Galil, they used to do like him. They used to follow Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri. Even though we don't follow that opinion, we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We say the Malchias in the fourth bracha, combining with Kedushas Hayayim. But that's a carryover from the Nusach that they used. That's the suggestion. That was the carryover from the Nusach that they used to daven in Galil. They used to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri. So here the Mishnah has that according to Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri, that you say Malchias in the third bracha together with Kedushas Hashem, you don't blow shofar after that. You only blow shofar in the middle three brachas, you wouldn't blow shofar. And then Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yechon Ben Nuri, and he asks Akasha, if you're not going to blow shofar after Malchias, which is combined with the Kedushas Hashem, so why do you bother to say the tenth pasuk? It should be enough to say nine pasukim. What does it have to do with nine pasukim and ten pasukim? What does it have to do with the Kiya Shofar? Is very strange Gemara. It's a very, like a Medrash Pliya. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion that maybe this is the Pshat. The nine Psukim are quoted to prove the point, the Ikir and Amunah, that you always start off with in Malchus Chayin HaShofar. The tenth Pasuk is to enhance the Bakosha at the end. We say, Melech HaKol HaKon V'Chvei Decho, because you yourself promised in the Chumash. Zechem is the current Ha'ol HaFanechen, because you yourself promised in the Chumash that you're going to take care of us. And the purpose of the Tkiyah Shofar at the end of Malchias, at the end of Zechanes, at the end of Shofars, in the Gemara, many places it would appear that the Tkiyah enhances the Tfilah. Not some a different mitzvah. We're not blasting like when you appoint a new king, so you blow the trumpets and you announce that you appointed the king. If that would be the only Kavanah, that's one of the Kavanahs. Rav Sadia Gaon has 10 Kavanahs in Tkiyah Shofar. So one of them is, when Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a day of coronating the Ribbono Shel Olam, we accept him as the Melech. Kabbalas on Malchusa. So if that's the only Kavanah, so why do you blow shofar in the middle of the Shemana Esrei? The Rashi repeats many times in the Gemara, the Tkiyah becomes a chelik of the Tfilah. You elevate the level of the Tfilah. Instead of just being a Tfilah, it's a Tfilah Sheishima Demo'ois. That's a Gemara in Perek HaZohav in Bob Metzia. The Gemara says, Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Nin Alu Shari Tfilah. The prayers are not accepted today to the same extent that used to be accepted as Bisman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, because that's a Pasuk in Echa, Gam Ki Ezek HaShaveya, saw some Tfilah, see, because the Beis HaMikdash is basic Beis Tfilah, that's the office where all the Tfilahs are accepted. It's supposed to face, best is to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, second best is to face the Beis HaMikdash when you're davening. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, it means the office is closed, so the Tfilahs are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted as Bisman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim. Then the Gemara concludes there in Perek HaZoah, but if the person davens with such sincerity that he's brought to tears, with such a sincere daven, tefillah sheishim or demois, that's a higher level of tefillah. So those tefillahs are just as acceptable today as they used to be. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash for that. So that's what the Gemara says, that basically, Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, the Targum Onkel says, the Gemara quotes the Targum Onkel, it says on the Pasuk, Yom Truah Yelachem and Metargaminon, Yom Yabava. What does Yabava mean? So the Gemara quotes that when Sisra was the head of the Sarzva Melech Aram, he was a general of the army of Aram, and they lost the war, and Sisra was killed. Yoel Eshes Chebrakeni killed him. And his mother, Sisra's mother, was waiting by the window for her son to come back, successful in battle. He was always successful in battle. She raised him to kill as many Jews as possible, to always be victorious in battle. She was waiting and waiting, waiting, waiting. Then she burst into tears. She realized they were trying to comfort her, calm her down. She burst into tears. She realized that her son is probably dead by now. He didn't come back. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says there, Aim Sisra was by the window, Bati Abev. She was crying. So I see that the word Yabov in Aramaic means to cry. So when it says Yom Tru Yelachem and Metargamin, and Targum Onkel says Yom Yabova, Rosh Hashanah is a day to cry. What do you mean? There's a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. You're not supposed to cry. The answer is you should blow shofar to elevate the level of the tefillahs. And instead of just being a plain tefillah, that you have to offer the tefillahs in the Beis HaMikdash, or facing towards the Beis HaMikdash, this should be elevated to the level of tefillah she'eshim or demoyas. It's a very serious tefillah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, and everybody's being judged, and all the countries are being judged. Well, al-chaim al-amav, so it's a very serious day. So the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah are very serious. That's the Ramban has, when the Ramban ran away from Spain, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and in the last years of his life he spent in Eretz Yisrael, so he gave a drasha in the Beis HaKnesses of Ramban, in Yerushalayim, they called it so because he gave a drasha there. He must have given a drasha for 5 hours. And he wrote up the drasha that he gave. He went through everything there is to know about Rosh Hashanah. He went through it from A to Z. He doesn't leave anything out. He talks about all the dinim. So the first thing he brings up is, where did the Chazal get this idea that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin? Where is there a source in Tanakh? So he says, you don't need a source in Tanakh. Or the Marishan was created on Rosh Hashanah. When he says, Ayam Tchilos Masecho, the world was created, Echad B'Tishrei, which one of the days of Sheshes Mei Bereishis was Echad B'Tishrei? So the tradition has it that it was the sixth day of creation. The first 5 days were from Chaf Elul to the end of Elul, and then the sixth day of creation was Echad B'Tishrei. That's when Adam Rishon was created. Everything before Adam Rishon is prehistoric, so that doesn't count. Adam Rishon, that's when history begins. That's Echad B'Tishrei, is when Adam Rishon was created. That Adam Rishon, Rosh Hashanah, that year was on a Friday. Sheshes Mei Bereishis. The sixth day of Bereshit was Friday. By us, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. So the Mekubalim say that the calendar is arranged by us today in such a way that Rosh Hashanah never falls out on Shabbos, because we live in an imperfect world. If the world would be perfect, Rosh Hashanah would always be on Friday. But by us, it can never fall out on Friday. We don't need any riots that the world isn't perfect. Look at the elections now in America, so we see if the world is very imperfect. Something very wrong going on. Anyway, so the Ramban quotes from the Medrash. He quotes from the Pirkei de Rab Lezer. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin has part of this, not all of it. So the Gemara says, the same day that Adam Rishon was created, he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He couldn't control himself even for a day. He only, after 2-3 hours, he already sinned, he already ate from the Eitz Hadas. He was judged on Rosh Hashanah and punished, chased out from Gan Eden on the same day on Rosh Hashanah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, just like I judge you today, so too in future generations, I will judge all of your descendants, the Jews and the non-Jews. The whole world is Alam Din is Bayam, not just Rosh Hashanah is not only the Yom HaDin for the Jews, it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin for all people in the world. Yom Kippur is the day of Mechila, that's special for the Jewish people. But that Rosh Hashanah is a Tchilas HaDin, and Yom Kippur is the Gemar Din, that's for everybody. That's how the Ma'bit writes in the Sefer Beis Elokim. And Aseres Mei Tshuva is a time that's mesugal for people to do tshuva. That's even for the Nochra. Yom Kippur is a special day of Mechila. That's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti Kidvarecha. That's what the Luch HaShniyos were given then. And that's only for Bnei Yisrael. But the institution of Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yakisei, Yom Kamtzipa Yechaseimon, and Aseres Mei Tshuva, that's for all the people in the world.
So
No, we all cry in davening. That's what kiyas are all about. We cry in the middle of the davening by blowing shofar, and the shvarim in the middle, the truah, is supposed to represent yababa, supposed to represent crying. There are three ways to cry. Either shvarim truah, or shvarim or truah. There's three different forms of yababa, so we do all three. Misofik, because of the machlokes of Shatanai.
Yeah. Supposed to cry during
we do cry. We do cry. Just to turn on the faucet and start crying doesn't make sense. If a person is so sincere in the davening that he realizes how serious the day is, it's a very serious day, so then he will be brought to tears when he davens. But even if he's not brought to tears, that's the idea of the Tkiyah Shofar. It represents elevating the level of the tefillah to the level of Zaoka. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tainiyos, that's a mitzvah sesei, whenever there's an eis tzora, lizo kol lahariya, al kol tzora shalai tova al hatzibah. Special mitzvah, chisavim mochama b'yartzachem, al hatzara tzores, al hariyos and machat tzoytzes, when there's a mochama, or there's an epidemic, or there's something terrible is going on, an eis tzora, so you're supposed to fast, but you're supposed to blow chatzoytzes. Chatzoytzes means supposed to daven zaka. Zaka means to daven in a very serious way. So that's what blowing shofar in the middle of the davening is all about. The Gemara says you only blow shofar if the malchus when the shofar is if it's b'tzibur. B'yochid you don't blow. Even though the person knows how to blow shofar, even if he has a baltikeya there and he's davening at home, he's not well, he's davening at home and he has a baltikeya, you don't, the tkiya shofar is only when the tefillah is b'tzibur. When it's a yochid, you don't have tkiyas al seder habrochis. Tosis quotes the Oruch on Lamed Gimel and Beis. It's a long Tosis, only one Tosis. Long Tosis. Tosis talks about how they blow shofar lemaisa, aloch lemaisa. So they quote the Oruch. The Oruch was of the opinion that they blow shofar b'tfilah b'tzibur rashonet, both by the tfilah b'lachash and by the chazaras hashatz. That's what the Hasidim do like that. Many Sfardim do like that. And by the most Ashkenazim, non-Hasidim, they don't blow shofar in the tefillah b'lachash. It's a big, usually it's a big mess. When they blow shofar mid the tefillah b'lachash, everybody's in a different place and it gets very confusing. So that's, it poses problems. So that's why it's such a sloppy mess. So most Ashkenazim don't do it. Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, used to make a small minyan on Rosh Hashanah in order to be able to blow tkiyas in the tefillah b'lachash also. He says in the big shul where you have a lot of people, it'll just make a sloppy mess, it's impossible. But in the small minyan it's possible. The Sochet Shavu Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, writes in his Tshuvas, he says, I would really not want to blow shofar in middle of tefillah b'lachash because it's such a balagan, but what can I do? That's what I do for a living. Chassidish Rebbe, so we Chassidim, you have to blow in tefillah b'lachash. He says, I have no choice. I remember Rav Soloveitchik used to make an announcement in advance. He used to say, I'm older than everybody in the room, and I've said this Shmon Esrei more times than everybody. I know it by heart. Takanu Malchus Hashem Shabbos by heart. He used to always give drushes, and he knew a lot of the psukim by heart. He didn't have to look in the machzor. He said, I don't know, how can you daven so quickly? I used to daven very quickly also. All week long, all year long, daven very quickly. He said, how can you daven so quickly? He said, I'm going to daven a little louder than usual. He always used to daven tefillah b'lachash loud. When we used to daven mincha after the shiur, so the students thought, one of the boys said, Ashrei, Chatzikadosh, then Rav Soloveitchik started saying tefillah b'lachash. He thought he was saying Hoche Kedushin, until he started saying Atachone, until he said Atachodesh. We didn't realize what was going on. That's what he always. Chaim did like that, his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Davila Soloveitchik, the Chafetz Chaim. A lot of Gedolim did like that. They used to daven tefillah b'lachash out loud. The people around them would hear them davening. So he said he's going to daven a little louder than usual, and he wants everybody to synchronize their davening with him. And when I finish Malchiyos, everybody should don't go ahead. Daven slowly with me, and say along, and the Baltekeh is going to blow in the middle of the tefillah b'lachash after Malchiyos and after Zechrinus and after Shofaris. In some communities, they had the practice that they had a makri. The rabbi would be the makri in the middle of tefillah b'lachash also. You call out, tikiyah, shorim truah. Most places, they don't do that. They only have a makri in the chazaras hashatz. You don't have it in the tefillah b'lachash.
When you blow shofar in tefillah b'lachash, if you don't do it, the rabbi did. The chazan, he gets a... I had this argument with someone last week. You blow when the Batukeya blows when the Chazan gets up to the right place, and he tells the Batukeya to blow. The Batukeya blows when he gets up to the right place, and Shimon Esrei.
The Baal Tekeh should be at the end of Malchias, and he should be at the end of Zechariah. He should be at the end of Shaifas. It's not right that he blows in the middle.
Right, he should blow at the end of the row, not in the middle, just because the Chazan happens to get up at that time and signal him.
Right. Why should was it have to do with the Chazan? He's not the Chazan when they're davening Tefillah Balachash. He's not functioning as a Chazan.
The Chazan
be
the Baal Tekeh.
The Chazan can. But yes, the Chazan can be the Baal Tekeh. Years ago, it wasn't recommended. Because he's going to get all confused. He's going to have to concentrate on the tkiyas, and he has to concentrate on the davening, at least the daven by heart, all the psukim by heart. But bizman is there, everybody has a machzer. So bizman is there, the chazan may be the Baal Tekeh. We're not afraid he's going to be confused.
This minhag gedolim to daven a little louder, isn't there a Gemara that says that if you davening loudly, is basically starting an amunah?
Yeah, so they understand it to me. If you scream out loud, scream out loud as if God can't hear you when you whisper. So that's Miktani Amunah.
The other one says you have to hear. Not everybody's kind
of, you have to hear what you say. The Gemara says usually by Kriya Shema and by Kiddush and Abdullah, Birchas Hamazon, you have to be Mashmili Oznov. And B'riyevet, if you weren't Mashmili Oznov, it's a Machlekes Hatanoim. We pass in B'riyevet, you Yoytze. So there's a Rashi and Yuma on Daf Yetesel and Beis. Rashi quotes from the Shiltas. This is Rashi's interpretation in the Shiltas. Rashi claims that according to the Shiltas, by davening tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, you don't even have to be mashmili oznav lechatchila. So others disagreed, and it's if thinks that the Shiltas never said that. He gives a different interpretation in the Shiltas. So they don't follow that Rashi. They don't follow that Rashi. Their practice was that they felt you have to be lechatchila, you have to be mashmili oznav, you have to daven loud enough, you should hear. The world does not do that. Yeah, most people do not. Right.
Isn't it supposed to be that other people aren't supposed to hear you, though?
Right. Okay. But others have the practice that they do say. They say loud enough that the others can hear them. Yeah. Yeah.
So again, it's not like a halacha. It's like you shouldn't have people hear.
You should try to daven loud enough that you should hear, but soft enough that the one next to you shouldn't hear what you say. Yeah. So again, so the Gemara has over here, there are two things that we do to enhance the chashivas of the bracha of the bakasha at the end of Malchus, the end of Zechonis, the end of Shofet. Each one concludes with a bakasha. That's the bakasha. That's the bakasha serachim. Instead of asking for refuah and parnosa and for children and all the other things, we just ask for lochol kolam kula and Zechonim zikaron tov lefanecha. So we do two things to enhance the bakosh. One thing we do is we blow shofar, which means we have elevated the level of the tefillah to the level of tefillah sheyeshima demoyes. Because the kiyah shofar is yabava, it's crying. So we have elevated the level to tefillah sheyeshima demoyes. And number two, we say, you promised us, you wrote in your chumash. The purpose of the 10th pasuk is not really to prove the point that the Ikra and Amunah is correct. That was enough with the 3 psukim or the 9 psukim. We say 3 times, 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, 3 psukim from Nevim. So we already proved the point. The 10th pasuk is not really to prove the point, it's to enhance the bakosha at the end. So that's what Rabbi Kiva says, and may not, he argues with Rabbi Chemenur. Rabbi Chemenur says you only blow shofar at the end of the 4th and 5th and the 6th brachas. You don't blow shofar after the 3rd bracha, even though the 3rd bracha, Atta Kodesh, Amelach HaKodesh, that contains the Malchias, you don't blow shofar there. So he asked, Imena Tokeya, Lomahu Masker HaPosek HaAsiri. Why does he say the 10th Pasek? The purpose of mentioning the 10th Pasek is to be Mechazik the Bakosha. So if you're not Mechazik the Bakosha, if you're not blowing shofar, so why should you bother to say the 10th Pasek? They're both for the same purpose. The 10th Pasek and the blowing of the shofar both have the same purpose, to enhance the Hashivas of the Bakosha. Yeah. The practice is that we say the 10th pasuk in Zechonis and Shofar in the middle of the final paragraph. We say 9 psukim after the middle section of Zechonis and Shofar, we say 9 psukim. Then we say, Lokeinu kam seinu zechem zechar tabel afanecha. Then we say, K'moshi chashavta besarasecha. And the same thing in Shofar, we say the 10th pasuk in the middle. In Malchias, we say the 10th pasuk right after the first 9. We don't say the 10th pasuk You don't say the 10th pasuk in the middle of the last paragraph. Why not? Why is there a discrepancy between Malchias and Zechonis and Shofars? Just like Zechonis and Shofars, you say the 10th pasuk in the last paragraph, why don't you do the same in Malchias? So the Achronim explain. The Achronim explain because the Malchias is combined with the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. We're combining two brachas together. Because you can't have a tefillah that has 10 brachas. There's no source. You only have a makor from Tefillah Schana that she had offered a tefillah that had 9 units. So we really have 10 brachas over here. So you have to kvetch together two other brachas. So this is a three-way machlekes hatanaim. Which two brachas do you combine together? So we follow Rebbe Akiva. We combine together the fourth bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov was always the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So we combine Malchias with Kedushas Hayom because that's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. That's the theme of the Kedushas Hayom. Every Yom Tov has a different theme. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. So those two fit in, they combine together. But since basically the fourth bracha is really the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, so and Malchias is only a guest over here, that's the lashon that the Achronim use. Malchias is a guest, you're kvetching together, you combine it together. So it's not right to insert a pasuk over there. The pasuk is to enhance the bakosha of the Malchias. Each one should end off with a bakosha. So this basically is a bracha of Kedushas Hayom, and we're inserting the Malchias. Malchias is only a guest, so it's not right to stick in the pasuk. So we say the 10th pasuk at the end of the first 9 pasukim. But Rav Soloveitchik said that he thinks that it's not proper, the common practice, he used to, when he would give a public shir on this, so he would always say, he would give the machzit to someone in the first row, and then he would say, what's the nigan? So the 10th pasuk says, Rasa Kasalema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ay, 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 ay. Then you pause a little bit and you say, Elokeinu, 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 Elokeinu. So you say, wrong. That shouldn't be the nusa. You should sing ay, ay, ay after the 9th pasuk. Because the 9 psukim are quoted to prove the point of Emunah in the opening paragraph in Malchias. The 10th pasuk really belongs in the last paragraph. But like the Achronim explained, that Kedushas, the Malchias is only a guest over here. So the guest shouldn't take over the whole bracha. So that's why it's not right to say the pasuk in the middle. So we say the 10th pasuk right after the 9 before you begin. But you should really pause in between the 9th pasuk and the 10th. You should go straight. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu should go together rather than having a pause in between Shema Yisrael and Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. The pause should be in between the 9th pasuk and the 10th pasuk. Some Rishonim disagree and they say no, the 10th pasuk should always be at the end of the 9th pasuk. Just like in Malchias the 10th pasuk is right after the 9, the Ramban on Rosh Hashanah quotes those who hold like that, the 10th pasuk by Zechonis and Shofar should also be at the end of the 9 psukim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, why not satisfy that opinion as well? So he introduced, he recommended to the Talmidim, he introduced in his minyan that at the end of the 9 psukim, you say Rasch Kasev Leimer, and you say a pasuk from Chumash. So which pasuk do you say? So by Zichrinus, they say the same pasuk that you're going to say later. In Elkein Kevaseinu, so may as well say after the 9 psukim, you say it then as well. Why? So some Rishonim say you should be say it right after the 9. So you add on. So Rasha Kosel, let me say the same pasuk that you're going to say later. You say it there. They satisfy those Rishonim. He said then in Shofaris, the Shulchan Aruch writes that there's a machlokes whether the pasuk that we have in the concluding paragraph is acceptable because he says so Rasha Kosel Leimer Yom Sefahaschem Adechem Rasha Chashechem Eskaita Machatzoitzes Alolasech Masiv Chashamechem etc. So that's the question, is that acceptable for Shofaris? It says, it's kaita machatzeitzus. It doesn't say, it's kaita mishofaris. So the Mechaber writes, even though there's a question, the Rosh is miasher dominik. I think he wrote, the Rosh or the Ran is miasher dominik. It's okay, you can say that pasuk. So Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe we should add a 10th pasuk after the 9th psukim in Shofaris, and instead of relying on the it's a machlek, so we should know whether that pasuk is acceptable. So he said, why not say a pasuk that the Gemara says for sure is acceptable? A pasuk, Hashem alakav imo, trust melech bo. How does that pasuk begin? Forget about it. Right. So the Gemara says that trust melech bo is good for Malchias and it's good for Shofaris also. Because he said trust melech bo. So it's good for Shofaris. So he said, if it's a machlokes, whether it's good, so why not add another pasuk? The Rishonim say, the Mordechai says, we say more than 10 psukim. So you can say 15 psukim if you want. Nothing wrong to add more psukim. There's no Baal Tosef over here. You have to have a minimum of 10 psukim. The 10 psukim is also, Mikra Din we pass on Lachir Abdech Manur. It's really enough with 3 psukim. One from Torah, one from Nevi'im, one from Ksuvim. So we're always adding on. We have 10 psukim. So you can add on, we have more than 10. So you can add on another pasuk. So he said, you may as well add on that pasuk. Hashem Elokavi Matruas Melech Bo, after the 9 psukim of Shoifers. Yeah. On the last daf, in the Masichta, the Gemara quotes an Amora Rav Hanano, who says that even if you didn't say the psukim at all, you just said, Vesarascha Kosev Leimar, you're also Yotze. Amar Rav Hanano Lomar Rav. He quotes, Amar Rav Hanano, he was an Amora from Eretz Yisrael, from Babel. He learned by Rav. Amar Rav Hanano Lomar Rav, what does it mean? So there's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus there. That's mamash the last amud in the Masechta. Lamed Heyam Ibn Aleph. The Rashi says the Gemara cannot be talking about Malchus Zechayin and Shoifers. How is it good enough as Harasa Kasalem? You got to say all the 10 psukim, either the 3 psukim or the 10 psukim. Can't just be Yotze B'Sarasa Kasalem. So the Gemara, Rav Hananel, must be talking about psuke Hamusafim. We say, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But the Malchus when a shofar, you can't just say, you gotta say all the psukim. Rabbi Natam disagrees with Rashi men el akotze. He says, what are you talking about? The whole idea of reciting the psukim of the musafim is in the Shalma form, so say no. So you have to say the psukim. Rav Hananel is never going to say, how are you yotz in the Shalma form, so say no, if you just say, Shamnasa levenachas kobrins chavisena kmosh chavtalem sarasecha, you don't say the psukim? You have to say. Rabbi Natam holds the hepach from Rashi. By the musafim, it's leikuva. You must say the psukim. And the Gemara only goes on the malchus, chenis, and shofis. I Rashi Tainis, but you have to have 10 psukim, you have to have 3 psukim. Rabbi Natam says, if you started saying psukim, then you got to have either 3 or 10. If you don't say any psukim, you just say the Ikra and Emunah, Malchias. Then you say, B'dozah Kasabat Torah, Shar Mavim, Shulish Baksuvim. That's how you prove any point. You say, B'dozah Kasabat Torah, Shar Mavim, Shulish Baksuvim. So you don't have to say any psukim, and you yotze b'riyad. You have to say it's written in the Torah, it's written in Ksuvim, it's written in Nevi'im. Yeah. The Mechaber writes that the Minhag Sfarad was like Rashi, that they even Lechatchila didn't bother to say on Yom Tovim, Shabbos Yom, they didn't bother Lechatchila to say the Pesukei HaMusafim. Rabbi Natam holds you not even Yotze B'Rievet if you don't say the Pesukei HaMusafim. So in Ori Svara, the Minhag was like Rashi, that you don't have to say it Lechatchila. The Ramah says our meaning is not so. We are choshish for the Rabbi Natam. So we are mak, but we do say the psukim. Yeah. In order to be yotze this mitzvah, according to Rashi, it's a mitzvah med the Rabban, mitzvah med the Torah, according to the Ramban, it's only a mitzvah med the Rabban to have tkiyas. I'll say the habrachas. So let's say a person davens very slowly and davens in the shul where they daven very quickly. So he's not going to miss, probably not going to miss Kedusha, because there's so many piyutim until he gets to Kedusha, he's going to finish before the Chazan gets to Kedusha. But he will not hear the Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, the Chazanish starts off like this, that in order to be considered Kiyas HaSeir HaBrachas, you have to listen to the Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end, because the Gemara says, the 9 brachas in Nishman Esra, Miyakim Zezeh, or in a weekday, let's say, today is a weekday, so all the 19 brachas on Miyakvim Zazeh, person forgot Hashir V'Shavteinu. He doesn't know how to say. He's missing a page from the Siddur, and it's missing one or two brachas. So let him not daven at all. If he's going to daven, it's going to be bracha levatolot. All the brachas on Miyakvim Zuazu. So in Rosh Hashanah also, the brachas on Miyakvim Zuazu. So if you didn't pay attention to the Chazoras Hashatz from the beginning to the end, then you're not Yotze the Takana de Rabbanon, or according to Rashi, the Din de Raisa, that you have to have tkiyas, I'll say the HaBrachas. Chazanish starts off like that, and then he tones it down a little bit, he backs out, and he thinks, maybe it's good enough if you heard Malchus Chayin HaShofetz from the beginning to the end. So let's say, what's the din, halacha l'maaseh? A guy's going to daven very slowly, Musaf, and he's going to finish before the Chazan gets to Kedusha. He's not going to miss Kedusha, and Kedusha by definition is in the middle of HaMelech HaKadosh, so he doesn't have Malchus till after he finishes the Kedusha. So he will hear the Malchus when the Sheriff is from the Chazan, but he won't hear from the beginning to the end. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not right. So the person should abridge. He should daven in the yeshiva. He should daven in the yeshiva, so they're going to daven slowly, so they won't have a problem. But if he knows they're not going to wait for him, then you should leave out of the Kain Netzor. You should leave out of the Chain Tein Pachtecho. That's only a piyut. By Rabbi Chaimanuri, maybe the Chain Tein Pachtecho was the Hagdome to the Malchus. By us, it's just a piyut. So if a person left out of the Chain Tein Pachtecho, he's Yotze B'dievet. You should leave out Zachrein Alechaim, leave out Michamoich of Sefer Chaim. Tosis quotes an opinion that if you didn't say Zachrein Alechaim, you're not Yotze. So Tosis says, we don't pass like that. It doesn't say in the Sefer. It doesn't say in the Gemara you have to say Zachrein Alechaim. That was introduced in the days of the Goyim. So how can you say that? That's Miyaka B'dievet. Tosis in the end of the first parak in Brochus. So you should leave out whatever you can when you daven the Tefillah B'Lachash. If you think the Chazan is going to start the Chazaras HaShatz before you finish, or abridge your Shmona Esrei. That's a shaila. Maybe we should even abridge, like Ben Ore Svarat. The Mechaber writes that they followed Rashi, that they didn't even say the psukim of Musafim all year long on Shabbos and Yontif. And we pass in a Shulchan Aruch like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the psukim of Malchus Chayin Shayfers. If you just said Bserosu Kaslaim and Chen Kos Bayadam Yecha, Chen Kos Diyukat Shecha B'Diyevet Yoytze. So maybe the guy should do Lachatchila like that. If he knows the Chazan is going to start davening Chazaras HaShatz, and he's not going to be able to kiyas al seder abrachas, because he's not going to be able to hear the whole Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end. So he should really abridge the davening to the best of his ability. So part of abridging would also require to leave out all the psukim, just to say the first paragraph of Malchus, and say, and then go to the third paragraph, to leave out as much as possible, to bridge the mass of possible. Yeah, the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that this was a Sveika Dedina, this was a Machloikis, what constitutes Trua? Whether Trua is Shvarim Trua, that's on Lamedala and Manala, or Trua is what we call Trua, or Trua is what we call Shvarim.
So that's a Rashi. So before, wouldn't you be elevating your Tefillah Lachash to Din Deraisa also, if we did Malchus, if we blew Shofar?
If you did what, Nachma?
If you blow Shofar in Shmona Esrei, of the sound of Shmona Esrei. Because didn't we say that the context, you need the shofar and Malchus Zichron Shofar for Rashi to make it Daraisa?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Lechora, wouldn't you be being elevating your private Shmona Esrei to that Din Daraisa?
The Gemara says that Din Daraisa is only when it's Tefillah B'Tzibur. So we usually assume only Chazaras HaShatz, and the Oruch quoted by the big Tosfos on Lamed Gimel holds even the Tefillah B'Lachash, that's B'Tzibur. But Tefillah B'Lachash B'Yochid, the Gemara says that Din Daraisa doesn't apply, even according to Rashi, that it's a Din Daraisa, it doesn't apply. Only applies when it's Tefillah B'Tzibur.
So everyone's blowing shofar the same. If everyone is up to the same point, isn't that called Tefillah HaTzibur?
I mean, B'Lachash, yeah, that's the Oruch holds like that. And the others hold that so. Only the Chazaras HaShatz. But the Yochid is davening at home, so then the Gemara said the Farish, there's no inyan of Kiyas al Seder HaBrachos. Even according to Rashi, that it's a Din D'Oraisa, the Gemara understood that it's only a Din D'Oraisa when you have the Tefillah B'Tzibur.
But I'm saying in a shul, when yeah, together, in the
silent Shmoneh, that's the Machlokes. The Aruch holds like that, and others seem to disagree. They hold that so. Tosis quotes one of the piyutim from one of the Rishonim. Hagan Hasar Shavasa Rabbeinu Shimshon b'Rabbi Yoina, one of the, I think it was the brother-in-law of the Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote piyutim, so he writes there Noi Aboim Koilos b'Harienu. That they didn't blow Mea Koilis, and they didn't blow in Tefillah B'Lachash. They only blew in Chazaras HaShatz. They only blew 30 Koilis before Musaf, and 10 Koilis in Chazaras HaShatz, and that's it. They didn't blow Tefillah B'Lachash. Obviously, he disagrees with the Oruch. And Tosfos quotes the Oruch, quotes that we have a meaning to blow Mea Koilis. We blow Tkiyah is one Koil, Shvarim is one Koil, Shvarim Chuas, two Koilis. Kiyas and other calls. If you add everything up, it's Meir Koilis. What is this supposed to correspond to? What's the gematria here? So they quote from the Sefer HaOruch that the Gemara quoted the pasuk Yom Tru Yalachem Imetagemina Yom Yabava, and Yabava means to cry. How do you know? Because the mother of Sisra was crying because she realized her son was killed in battle that he's not going to come back victorious this time. He lost his life, and the Orach assumes that she cried mea koilos. She sobbed 100 times. So because we made a comparison between Tkiya Shofar and Rosh Hashanah and Imei Disisra, so just like she cried 100 times, so we should blow mea koilos. Where do you have the mea koilos? So we have, we blow 30 koilos before Musaf, then you have 30 koilos in Chazoras HaShatz, then you have 30 koilos after Chazoras HaShatz is over, then you blow another 10 koilos, Tashrat HaShat HaRat, another 10 koilos. This Rabbein Shimshib Rabbi Yoina, the Baal HaTosfos who composed the Piyut, he says you only blow 40 koilos. What are the 40 koilos? 30 in the, before Musaf, and 10 in Chazoras HaShatz. Which 10 in Chazoras HaShatz? So that was the minig b'shtei yeshivas. In the days of the Goyim, there were two major yeshivas in Bavel, Sur and Ardo, I think, I'm not sure which two, Pompidisa and Ardo, I'm not sure which two. History, if you ask any historian, they'll tell you what the names of the two. Minig b'shtei yeshivas was that they blew Tashrat once after Malchias, Tashat once after Zichronis, and Tarat once after Shofres. So the Goyim themselves ask, Tosis asked the Kasha, the Goyim themselves ask, and the Tshuvas HaGoyim, and the Rif quotes it, it doesn't make any sense. It's a stirim in Ayubay. If the correct form is Tashrat, so what do you blow Tashat after Malch, after Zichronis, and Tarat after Shofres? The correct form is Tashat, so what do you blow Tarat after day? They contradict each other. What are you doing over here? So that's a Pella, that's a, but that was the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas, that's all. That's Rabbi Nishim Shem Rav Yonah, that's all they blew. The 10 koilos, once Tashrat after Malchias is 4 koilos, Tashat after Zechronis is 3, and Tarat after Shofres is 3. 4, 3, and 3 is 10, that's it. And the 30 before Musaf, that was all they blew, was 30, 40. The 30 before and the 10 of Chazaras HaShatz is 40, yeah. Others, if you blow Tkiyos in the Tefillah B'Lachash, you have 30. We don't follow that Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas. Most of the world, the embroyers, they still do like that. They still blow the, like the Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas. They blow Tashrat after Malchias, Tashat after Zechronis, and Tarat after Shavuos. But the rest of the world moved on from that. Nobody does like that anymore. So Tosfos says it would have made more sense if you would blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Malchias, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Zechronis, Tashat, Tarat, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Shavuos. No, no, that's what they say. Would it make better sense if you blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Malchias, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Zechronis? Would it made more sense? But that was not their practice. The one, that's what we do. The one who introduced that was a few centuries later, that was the Shalom. So it's a Pella. Why it took so many centuries till they figured that out? To blow, but Tosfos says that would have made more sense, to blow all the logical possibilities. Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Malchias, the same after Zechronis and the same after Shofres. Rabbi Natam modified it. He didn't want to change the Minig HaGoyim too much. The blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, after each one, they're really changing the Minig HaGoyim. So that's what we do. We change the Minig HaGoyim, Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas, and we follow the Shalom. And that's the Shalom just introduced. What Tosfos said would have made more sense. Rabbi Natam didn't want to change too much, so he just introduced, he blow Tashrat once after Malchias, once after Zechronis, and once after Shofres. Aye, but it's a Sveika Dedina, which one is the correct form? So Rabbi Natam says, whatever is the correct form, you have it. It was supposed to be Tashrat, you have it. It was supposed to be Tashat, you have it. Aye, you have a little Trua thrown in. So what? So Hefse Kol Achab in time is not Mevatel B'Dievet. And then you have, if it's supposed to be Tarat, so you have Tarat. Aye, you blew a Shvarim that didn't belong. So he says, Mikra Demi Hol Hefsek Kol Acher Ben Taim doesn't passel. I, the Gemara, says not so. The Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Aleph and Aleph says, Rabbi, asking Rabbi Bo B'Kisri, Rabbi Bo made the Takana, you should blow all the possibilities. So why didn't he just make a Takana to blow Tashrat? Why do you have to blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat? The Gemara said, because of Hefsek Kol Acher. So we learn Pshat in the Gemara, Hefsek Kol Acher Ben Taim. It's not called Pshuta Lefana, it's not called Pshuta Lachre. You ruin it. Rabbi Natam says, no, the Gemara just meant L'chatchila, it's a problem. But it doesn't passel B'dievet. So that's, we don't really follow that, Rabbi Natam said. That's why we don't have that practice. We don't just blow Tashrat once after Malchias, after Zechronis, and after Shofres. We hold the Hefsek Kol Acher Ben Taim is mevatel the tziruf. It's not called pshuta lefaneha. If you're stuck in a shvarim that doesn't belong, it's not called pshuta lachareha. If you put in a trua that doesn't belong over there. So we have the practice, like Tosis suggested you should have done, that's what the Shalom introduced, that you do, you blow tashvat tashatarat, after malchis, the same after zechrenis, and the same after shofres. So that adds up, see, according to the minig v'shtei yeshivas, the whole chazar sashatz, you only have 10 koilas. According to the Shalom, you have 30 koilas in the chazar sashatz. If you follow the oruch, that you blow tkiyas, even in the tefillah balachash, you have 30 koilas before Musav, 30 koilas in the middle of Tefillah Balachash, and 30 koilas in Chazaras HaShatz. Then the Orach recommends you should have Mea koilas, so you blow another 10 koilas later, you blow Tashvat HaShatarat, that's 10 koilas, you blow the 10 additional koilas later. Kineged the Imid is Sisra. Yeah?
With regards to listening to the whole Chazar from the beginning to the end, what about Natilas Yadayim for Davening?
The Kohanim should walk out, the Levim should walk out when they're saying some piyutim. So the piyutim are not
miyakev.
I think it says in the art scroll in the Rav Matzer that he would make sure to dive in a room in a place where they had a room for kids to dive in the
they
the
should
room.
Wash in the shul, yeah. You got a big problem? Got a big problem. The Chasam Sofer writes, the Chasam Sofer was born and brought up in Frankfurt. In Frankfurt, the meaning here in Breuers, they still do like that. They wash hands in front of the shul, right next to the right and to the left of the chazan. They have a washing station. The Levim stand in line, the Kohanim stand in line. So the first Levi washes the hands of the first coin. Then second Levi washes the hands of the second coin. They have a whole system worked out. So the Chasam Sofer writes, as a child, he was brought up in Frankfurt. It was so beautiful to see. The Rav in Frankfurt was the Baal HaFloa. Pinchas HaLevi Ish Horovitz. HaFloa, he was a Levi. And his Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler, was a Kohen. So he says, the Rav in Shul would pour the water on the hands of Rav Nos Nadler. It was a sight to behold. Two big tzaddikim, Talmid HaChachamim. He's washing his hands in front of everybody in Shul. He says, the Kovet HaTorah that was there. He writes in his Jewish, what a beautiful sight it was to watch. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rabbeinu Tam. That was the minig in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, to do like the Rabbeinu Tam. But today, I don't think anybody does that. Today, everybody follows the Shalom's recommendation.
If one's doubting a Shul, they doubt in Shemona Esrei faster. Can one doubt in Shemona Esrei at their own pace stop when they doubt in the first paragraph or whatever, and then once they start puting, you can continue?
Again, what are you going to do?
While they say the first
Brach of
Yavida, or until they get to a piyut and just listen?
No. You're supposed to listen to Chazaras HaShatz altogether, not in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash. We follow the Bahag, that if a person's in the middle of Tefillah Balachash, Chazan is up to Kedusha, so we pay attention, we'll be Yotze with Shemei Koine the Kedusha. But you're not supposed to be Yotze Chazaras HaShatz with that. You should finish your tefillah balachash and then should abridge as much as possible. You can abridge. Leave out all the psukim and you'll be finished before the chazan. If you leave all of his yotzei b'sarasu kos leimah, chen kosu v'yadim echa, chen kosu diri kotshecha. That's less than half. You're going to say less than half of the Shemana Esrei. And you have no choice if you want to. The choice is daven in yeshiva. But if you're going to daven in the shul and you're going to go quickly, so you have to leave out as much as is possible to leave out.
Everybody thinks it's better to do that than to start alive with the other chazan ish.
I thought Rav Soloveitchik's taina was very strong. He thought that the beginning of the Chazanish, the way the Chazanish starts off, is more correct. All the brachas hamakva zu azu. So what does it help that you heard the three brachas in the middle? Three brachas in the middle is not enough. Yeah, how did we get this idea? The Gemara talks about tkiyas al seder our brachas. Where does this come from? Tosis asks, on the first wide line in this gigantic Tosis on Lama Gimel on base. So Tosis asks, Abol koidem atfilo lo ashkechon. Where does it come from that we blow shofar before we start davening musaf? What's the source? Oh, they say in the second. Elo ashkechon, they discovered a gemara and after zayinam and aleph in the first perik. The gemara has a question. Lama tokem emirim kishem yoshvim, v'tokem emirim kishem omdim. How come we blow tkiyas the miyushav, tkiyas the miyumet kedei laharbeiv es hasoton? What does that mean? How do we succeed la beva sa satan? So Rashi writes on that Gemara, the Satan comes, it's Yom HaDin, so the Satan comes to claim that we all do Averis, we don't care too much about the mitzvahs. So we want to demonstrate that not only do we do the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to do, we do above and beyond, we do more. We blow twice as much as he told us to do. We love the mitzvah so much, we do way more than he instructed us to do. The Rashi translates, that's how we succeed in Kedei La'arbei V'Sasot. Okay. So what does it mean, you blow? And Tosa says, V'ayinu Kedei Abdinon. That Gemara, that's the practice that we have. He blows Shofar before Musaf, then we blow in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So that's how Tosa learns, T'ki is the Miyushav and T'ki is the Miyuma. T'ki is the Miyuma means that T'ki is in the middle of the Amidah, middle of the Chazaras Hashatz, or the middle of the Tefillah B'Lachash, however you learn. T'ki is the Miyushav means... not in the Amidah. Not in the Amidah. The tkiyas that you blow, not in the Shemana Esrei. That's what we call tkiyas de Miyushav. Some Sephardishi communities had a minig that you sit by tkiyas de Miyushav. Only the Baal Tekeh stands and the whole tzibah sits. What's that all about? So the Netziv explains in his commentary on the Shiltis. He wrote the commentary on the Shiltis when he was a teenager. Very interesting. He was a fantastic bookie, even when he was a teenager. So he quotes a Tosis in Arvei Psochim that really the Iker Tekiyah should really be Al Seder HaBracha. So when you blow Shofar before Musaf, what is your intention? Kedei La'arbei V'Sasotan. We don't want to be Yotze Tekiyah Shofar. If it'll be Yotze Tekiyah Shofar, you won't be in fulfillment of the Takana Derabbanan, of the Din Deraisa, of Tekiyah Al Seder HaBracha. So the Tzibur sits to demonstrate that they have Kavanah Shalom Lotzeis. Because the Goyim say that there are seven mitzvahs also that you're supposed to fulfill in a standing position. One is Shofar, one is Sfiras Hayim, and they have another five mitzvahs. So Aganzei Gzeres Shavah, they invented. The Gemara never has this Gzeres Shavah. The Goyim had this tradition. Whenever it says Lachem, so you have to stand. Yom Teruah Yeh Lachem, and it's Svartam Lachem. So whenever it says Lachem, you have to do it Bamida. So the Tzibur sits to demonstrate that they have in mind Kavanah Shalom Lotzeis. So they hear the bracha now. Tosfos gives the same mashal. Tosfos says, you say the bracha al achilas matzah when you eat the matzah in the beginning of the meal, but you have in mind not to be yotze. You only want to be yotze the matzah at the end. Yikah mitzvah matzah is at the end of the meal. That's what Tosfos claims. Other Rishonim say, no, the matzah at the end of the meal is zecha l'korban Pesach. Only a zecha, it's not the yikah mitzvah. But Tosfos holds the yikah mitzvah matzah at the end. So Tosfos says, just like on Rosh Hashanah, we say the bracha, the Shmaya Kol Shofar, we have in mind not to be Yotze now, because if we'll be Yotze now, we won't fulfill the din, the Araisa, the Rabbana, the Tekiyas, Al Seder, Brachas. So we have in mind not to be Yotze now. But the Baal Tekeh does stand. Why? So the Netziv points out that there is a Machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, Tak in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. If you hold like the opinion, the Gemara has a Machlokes where the mitzvah Tzvichas Kavona, a mitzvah Saint Tzvichas Kavona. So it's a machlekes how we paskin, machlekes how we shine him, how you paskin. The Mogen Avraham in Hilchas Kriyashma quotes the Radvaz, and the Radvaz says the same as the Ramban and the Mochamis, that we split the psak with respect to mitzvahs deraisa, we paskin mitzvahs tzichas kavana, respect to mitzvahs derabana, we paskin mitzvahs ain't tzichas kavana. Tosfos points out that the two different sugyas, a sugya in the end of psochim, where the mitzvahs tzichas kavana, there the Gemara is talking about the mitzvah derabana of Moror. Morib is Manazez, the Rabbana. And in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks about Mitzvah Sichas Kavana with respect to Tekiyah Shofar. That's their Raisa. How come the Gemara didn't bring their Raisa there over here? How come they're different Raisas? They said they're different studios. One is a Mitzvah their Raisa, Tzichas Kavana. What is a Mitzvah their Rabbana, where the Tzichas Kavana? And there's room to distinguish. So the Rabban claims that we do distinguish. Rabban says that we distinguish that on a Mitzvah their Raisa, we pass in Tzichas Kavana. Mitzvah Rabbanu, we pass an end. Where did Rabban get a Gemara that makes a compromise? So he interprets the Gemara in Bracha says, when you say Kriyat Shema, you have to have Kavanah b'Pasuk Rishon. But the rest of the Kriyat Shema, you don't have to have Kavanah. So why is it different Pasuk Rishon and the rest? Rabban says, that's the answer. Why? Because Pasuk Rishon is their Isa. The rest of Kriyat Shema is only the Rabban. Most of the Rishonim do not agree with the Rabban. They say either Parsha Rishon is their Isa, or Shtei Parshas is their Isa, or the Ramahan Sol Shalosh Parshas. Is the Raisa of Kriyat Shema. The Rabban claims, Pasuk Rishon, Hashem Echad, that's the Raisa, and all the rest is only the Rabbanah. And that's why Pasuk Rishon, you need Kavanah, and the rest you don't need Kavanah, because Mitzvah Sichas Kavanah, we pass can a compromise. Mitzvah deraisa tzichas kavana, mitzvah rabbanan and tzichas kavana. So there's room to dingzach with the rabbanan to say he's mixing together two different kavanas. Whether mitzvah tzichas kavana or not, discussion. Kavana lotzes. You have to have in mind you want to be yotze the mitzvah. That Gemara's talking about kavanas pirish amilus. You have to know what you're saying. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You have to know what the words say. You have to say Hashem Elokecha. You don't have to know what the words say. That's what Prime points out, the two different kavanas. The Ramban says, so the Ramban writes there, and don't tell me that they're two different kavanas. It's all the same thing. If mitzvah is ain't tzvichas kavanah, then you know, if you don't need kavanah losses, then you don't have to have kavanas pirush amilas. And if you say you need kavanas pirush amilas, obviously you're assuming that you need kavanah losses also. In the yeshivas, they're so convinced that Rav Chaim is right, you find the Ramban is very startling. They're two totally different kavanas. That's what the Ramban paskins like that. That's what the Mogen Avraham quotes, or Radvaz, who paskins like that also. So there's a, so now in Hilchas,
the Ramban hold the same as Sukkah, or is Sukkah different according to the Ramban?
What do you mean by Sukkah?
Or is it Man Yudhara Sechem?
You mean the Man Yudhara Sechem, the Bach says you have to have Kavanah for the Tama Mitzvah.
Right.
Usually, even if you have Mitzvah Hilchas Kavanah, you just need Kavanah Lotzeis. You don't have to have kavanah for the Tama Mitzvah. Then the Bach is Mechadesh, based on a tour, that whenever the Chumash tells you the reason for the Mitzvah in connection with the Tzivui, then the kavanah for the Tama Mitzvah is also Ma'akev. Could be. Could be that he'll agree over there that you certainly need kavanah lotes. I don't know. It's a good question. The Tosis in Psochim, in Arba Psochim, says like that. When you blow the Tkiyas before Musaf, everybody has in mind not to be Yotze. Same as Matzah, they say. You have in mind.
You have one Yotze, but it's the Iker on top of the Yotze. It's the Iker on the end, but it's Yotze both. It's not
Yotze. No, you have in mind not to be. If you'll be Yotze now, then you won't fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyas al Seder Abrachas. So you have to have in mind now not to be Yotze. So it's not called a hepsik because of kasaf, you are blowing shofar, you are reading some matzah. But since you have kavanah shalo lotzeis, so therefore you're not yotze. So in Hilchas Tkiyas Shofar, there's a machlokes harishonim. What if your mitzvahs ain't tzvichas kavanah? So if a person is just walking in the street and he hears Tkiyas Shofar, he knows today is Rosh Hashanah, he knows it's a mitzvah, but he wasn't really having in mind that he wants to be yotze. So according to some rishonim, we paskin even on mitzvahs derais, the mitzvahs ain't tzvichas kavanah. He's yotze even though he didn't have kavanah lotze. What if he has kavanah b'feir shaloi lotze? What if he has kavanah shaloi lotze? So that's a machlokes harishonim. So we assume that mechaber paskins he have kavanah shaloi lotze l'chol ha'deis he not yotze. And the Shagasari has a whole attack against that. He thinks he has a hoichocha from the Gemara in the last perik in Erevin, a rai from the Gemara that if you all mitzvahs ain't tzilchas kavanah, even if you have kavanah shaloi lotze, you would also be yotze. You would be yotze even bal korcha. And Rabbi Kibbege there, when the Mechaber writes, if you have Kavanah Shalal Otzes, he's certainly not Yotze. Rabbi Kibbege quotes that there are Rishonim, the Beis Yosef quotes Rishonim, there are all. That if y'all mitzah ain't Slichos Kavanah, even Kavanah Lehepach, Kavanah Shalal Otzes, he also Yotze. So the Netziv claims that this is the Pshat and the Minig by many Sephardic communities. The Chidor quotes this. Tkiyas Lemiyush of the whole Tzibu would sit except for the Baltikeya. Why? They would, so he says they would all sit. It's called Tkiyas Lemiyushu, because everybody sits. Why do they sit? To demonstrate that they have Kavanah Shalo Lotzeis. So let the Baal Tekeya also sit. So he says, the meaning in these kehillas was, the one is actually shaking the lulav, the one is blowing the shofar, it's not going to help if he's going to have Kavanah Shalo Lotzeis. It goes with that Shita Sara'o, that even Kavanah Shalo Lotzeis doesn't help. But Shemei Kohen only works if I want to be Yotze. You can't force, you say Kiddush and I have Kavanah Shalo Lotzeis. I can't say my own Kiddush. Shemei Kohen is only if I'm Shemei and I want to be Yotze. So the Tzibur can sit and demonstrate they don't want to be Yotze, but the Baal Tekeya, it's not going to help if he's going to sit to demonstrate he doesn't want to be Yotze. The meaning in these Kehillahs was that the Baal Tekeya has to be Yotze now. So the Baal Tekeya loses out on the Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas. The Baal Tekeya, you think he's winning, he's losing. The Baal Tekeya loses because he's Yotze now.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, okay. They pay money not to be Yotze the Mitzvah.
According to the opinion that Tekiyah Shofar is Midin Shomei Kaone, would the guy that's walking on the street, wouldn't the guy blowing Shofar would have to have Kavanah on for him to be Yotzeh?
Yeah, we assume that if he's blowing shofar in shul, he has in mind whoever is hearing me, even if they're not in the shul. But let's say he's blowing in a hospital for one particular person, he's blowing at home, then he doesn't have in mind. The guy's walking in the street but not be yotze. But when the baltikeh blows in shul, he probably has in mind whoever happens to hear the shofar, whether they're in the shul or not in the shul. That's how they explain in Shulchan Aruch.
Make a bracha for a private person.
The private person, if he knows how to say bracha, he should say his own bracha.
Even though it's not
a seder. Even though it's not, yeah. Even though it's not al seder brachas, yeah. The Baal HaMor points out, the Baal HaMor disagrees with Tosfos. The Baal HaMor disagrees with the Pirush HaMilas. He says, the key is the miyushav, the blowing shofar before Musaf. He claims historically was only introduced in the days of the Gaonim. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't blow shofar before Musaf. They blew shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, and there never was a bracha l'shma called shofar, because whenever you fulfill a mitzvah in the form of a bracha, let's say you recite Birchas HaMazon, you say Shehakol Nibedvar and a cup of water, then you drink it. So why don't you say a Birchas HaMitzvah? There's a mitzvah in the Rabbanan to recite the Shehakol. So say a Shehakol Rishonu, if it's supposed to Tzumanu, Levarach Halo Oichlim, and then say Shehakol Nibedvar. But before you say Kiddush, you want to say Hashem Shem Tatsono, the Kadesh is Yom HaShabbos, and then you say the Kiddush. So the Nesivus writes in his Haggadah, he says, whenever the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, they never instituted another Birchas HaMitzvah. Not only if it's being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, like Kiddush, Avdolah, Birchas HaNenet, Birchas HaMazon, even if the mitzvah is fulfilled within the framework of brachas, like Duchening. The Gemara Megillah says that one of the yes, the Tanaim and Amoraim by Meharach the Yomim. What schus did you live so long? So one of them says that he always did a Midas Chassidus. Each one did some Midas Chassidus or not. So one of them did a Midas Chassidus. Whenever he would duchen, he would always say a bracha before. So the Rishonim asked, what's the Midas Chassidus? Kol haMitzvos kulam uvarach aleihem hoy v'lo asiyos. You have to say a bracha. So he did what the din requires. So why should it be zechut tarich as yamin? So the Netziv has an ishurim on that gemara. The Netziv gave shurim and valoshin. He was a shiva for 39 years. So he has in the Merei Mesoda, he says, no, since duchening was instituted to be fulfilled in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, so it doesn't require any bracha. So this chacham who said the bracha, that was a voluntary bracha. That wasn't a birchas hamitzvah. Why did he volunteer a bracha? So it's a whole discussion based on the Zohar, he says, because it's not proper to give a bracha to a boss of Adam without first praising the Rabban Shalom. So that's why. But it's not the regular din, a birchas hamitzvah. You don't need a birchas hamitzvah. So that's what the Baal HaMor says. He says, in the days of the Gemara, they never had tekiyas before Musaf. It was only introduced in the days of the Gaonim. What changed? Because in the days of the Gaonim, they started adding on so many piyutim to the davening. The davening took forever. So the cholim miskeinim have to go home. The Mubaris and Manikas, they can't last till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They have to go home. They have to go home and make Kiddush and eat. So, and they're not going to finish till doomsday. So that's when they introduced, because they introduced so many piyutim in the days of the Gaonim, that's why they introduced the tekiyas before Chazaras Hashatz, because of the Chol HaMiskeinim, it can't stay. But the Gemara says, you blow tekiyas the miyushav, tekiyas the miyumah. So the Baal HaMor says, it doesn't mean that. Tekiyas the miyushav means in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, when there is decorum in the synagogue, everybody's sitting in their seat. Tekiyas the Miyumad is the tekiyas after Chazaras Hashatz, when everybody's putting away the sidurim and the talesim and they're walking around. That's tekiyas the Miyumad, but there's no longer decorum in the shul. But he says, Bizman HaGemar, they never had the tekiyas before Musaf. That's what he claims. That was only introduced in the days of the Gaonim.
There's a machlokas Rishonim about Kriyat Shema, that if you're being given, say, the Kriyat Shema, you should say a bracha.
No, the Netziv quotes that Rabbi Yoinah from the first page in Brachas, who quotes from the Gaonim, if a person davens Marav after Tzeisa Kochovim, then he doesn't have to recite a bracha Shekarishana b'mitzos v'tzivano al kriyashma. But if he davens Marav early, before Tzeisa Kochovim, and then he has to repeat kriyashma later, balayla, so then he has to say the bracha Shekarishana b'mitzos v'tzivano. So why don't you always say the bracha? So the Netziv says that's the reason why. When you recite Kriya Shema within the framework of brachas, so you don't need a birchas hamitzvah. But if you dab marv too early, you want yotze b'dai Kriya Shema, then you have to repeat the three parshas of Shema later, so then you have to say birchas hamitzvah. He says Adar. He says that Rav Amram Goyen, that the Rabbeinu Yoni quotes on the first page in brachas, is saying the same as this Balamor. He says, when they instituted tkiyas before Musaf, so the tkiyas are not in the middle of a framework of brachas, that's when they had to introduce the bracha. But in the earlier years, oh, when a person would daven b'yichidus, so he would hear tkiyas shofar on his own. But in the early years, in the days of the Gemara, when the tkiyas used to be in the middle of chazaras hashatz, so then there never was, the Baal HaMor says, there never was a birchas hamitzvah on the shofar.
The Baal HaMor is correct.
I mean, it should be a bracha l'batala. Bracha shenetzvicha, right. So that's what the Netziv interprets like this. So the Netziv explains why, because there's a passage in the Zohar, the Gemara has this also, that Malkit Tzedek Melech Sholem says, Hu kohen lekelo yon, hu kohen vein bro kohen. Really, he deserved, he was a kohen, his descendant should have been kohanim. But it says, hu kohen vein bro kohen, he was punished. That he lost the kahuna. Why? Because first he gave a bracha to Baruch Aram Lekel Yon, Baruch Kel Yon Shemigin Sarecha Biyodecha. He gave first the bracha to the boss of Adam, to Avram Avinu, then he gave the bracha to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's not Derech Eretz. He should have given the bracha first to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So that's what it says in the Zohar. That's what he quotes on Erev Yom Kippur, when the parents give brachas to their children. So they shouldn't start right away giving a bracha to the Shah. They should first give a bracha to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So you should start off with psukim, you should stay some psukim where you bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then give the bracha to the boss of Adam. So that's what the Netziv claims, that this Midas Chasidus was. The Karim got to say, Yibarach Hashem Yishmarecho, so Derech Eretz dictates they should give a hakdama, give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before they start. So it wasn't really B'toris HaBracha, it was B'toris to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu before they start giving a bracha to the boss of Adam. Why what?
So why didn't they in the time of the Gemara?
The whole Zohar is a Midas Chasidus.
You can make a bracha, it's a Midas Chasidus?
That's his suggestion. That's what the dings are.
A berachah, it's a mitzvah? A berachah, some other bracha. To make a real berachah, it's a mitzvah. A shirik shavos of a tzivadu.
Right. So there's, good, there's a lot of dings up, but that's how the Netziv suggests, yeah.
Rabbi, you mentioned about Kiddush. What about, don't you have to make Kiddush?
Kiddush. Yeah, in Rosh Hashanah there's a machlokes hagayim where they are permitted to fast. So even though we follow the opinion that you're not allowed to fast, but we rely on the gayim that we don't have to make kiddush before chatzos. So you can fast on Rosh Hashanah even till after chatzos. Okay, Belineta, maybe tomorrow we should we continue with the Yoni Rosh Hashanah? You want to go back to kiddush?
Take a vote.
Okay, we'll have to have our pulse to take the vote.
So we should give two options.
I found it.